heads role at the Vatican Bank.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Even as Pope Francis moves to shake up the Vatican Bank, the troubled bank seems to be shaking itself up. Two top officials at the bank quit today amid a new scandal. Covering this is the BBC's Alan Johnston in Rome. Morning, Alan.
Hi, David. Hi.
So tell me about the latest scandal to have hit the bank.
Well, scandal indeed, it really is. A senior cleric, Monsignor Scarano, accused of conspiring with a rich financier and an Italian Secret Service agent, and their plan was to use a private plane to fly illegally millions of euros in cash from Switzerland to Italy, bypassing taxes and controls on the normal movement of large amounts of cash. The Monsignor worked in the Vatican's finance department. He wasn't actually an employee of the Vatican Bank itself, but the suspicion is that he felt his connections with the bank meant that he could act with a degree of impunity, and it was a major investigation into the bank that led to the Monsignor's arrest.
What is likely to happen next?
Well, we'll see more, I'm sure, and the Pope does seem intent on trying to reform it. Just a few days before this latest scandal broke, he had put in place this board of several members to look at the workings of the bank. You can imagine the embarrassment for the Pope and the Vatican, this new Pope talking endlessly of the need for the Church to focus on the needs of the poor, railing against greed and the unfairness of the international financial system. And yet right here under his nose, these large questions about the way the institution functions and reports of greed and corruption of a most unchristian kind.
The BBC's Alan Johnston in Rome. Alan, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Now let's do the numbers. With the military giving Egypt's president an ultimatum that some describe as a threat of a coup d'etat, Egypt's stock market actually hit a three-month high today. Analysts say this is a bet by some investors that a military response might restore some order to the streets and to the economy there. Supporters of Egypt's elected government see this differently. The FT 100 index in London is currently down 0.5%. The Nikkei rose 1.8%. The Dow went up 65 points yesterday. And S&P futures are currently up this morning. Now, later this morning, we get the tally on U.S. car and truck sales for June. We'll see, but some are predicting the best month since before the Great Recession. Marketplace's Sarah McCammon reports.
It's been a good year for business at the Stu Hansen dealership in Des Moines. And for a simple reason. Cars wear out. Dan Betcher is general manager.
A lot of the cars we're taking in trade right now, they've pretty much done their job.
Betcher says the average car trade-in these days is 10 years old with 180,000 miles, and trucks are even older. He's counting on continued growth and hiring more sales staff, accountants, and auto detailers. Probably a smart move, says George Magliano, senior economist for IHS Automotive.
This is going to continue for an awful long time.
Magliano predicts 4 or 5 years of continued growth in auto sales. The rebound started with baby boomers replacing old cars, but as the economy grows, he says look for more millennials kicking the tires.
It's not only reclaiming those people that lost their jobs in the recession, but getting to the younger people who really haven't had an opportunity to work at this point.
And as the economy picks up, he says, those younger workers will need cars to get them to their new jobs. I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
As we've been reporting, college student interest rates are currently at the mercy of Congress. The interest rates on subsidized what are called Stafford loans doubled to 6.8% yesterday and could stay there unless Congress fulfills a pledge to restore lower rates when it comes back from the 4th of July holiday. Lawmakers from both parties, as well as the White House, vowed to lower that rate before students start signing loan documents for the fall. If that agreement remains elusive, it could cost the average student $2,600. The immigration reform bill that passed the Senate last week would almost double the number of what are called H-1B visas. These are temporary and allow employers to hire people from abroad for jobs deemed hard to fill with Americans, like some tech positions and teachers for math and science. But getting into the U.S. to work can be expensive. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer brings us one teacher's story.
An excited group of high schoolers is bent over whirring and beeping robots. They're coached by their teacher, Ingrid Cruz.
All right, let's test this. But connect your robot, please.
Cruz teaches robotics in East Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She was Teacher of the Year in 2010 and again this year. Cruz is from the Philippines. She came to the U.S. on an H-1B visa. She makes teaching teens look effortless, but her start in East Baton Rouge in 2007 was anything but easy.
Every day in my first year, as soon as the bell rings and the students step out, I'll be in my closet crying.
Crying over all the money she lost coming to the U.S., Cruz got her Louisiana teaching job through a Filipino recruiting agency hired by the school district. The recruiters charged a fee for every step in the process. Cruz says she ended up paying them $12,000 to $15,000, including 20% of her first year's salary.
I'm here working very hard, been struggling with the adjustment, and somebody else is getting my money.
Foreign teachers working in other parts of the U.S. have had similar problems. Arneto Valera is an immigration lawyer. He helped some Filipino teachers in Prince George's County, Maryland. Valera says the agency that recruited those teachers charged all kinds of fees.
There are instances here where the recruitment company, for example, gets a fee from the school and at the same time collects money from the employee.
The teachers ended up paying federal immigration fees and attorney's fees. Valera says the employer is supposed to cover those expenses, but the school districts say the law isn't clear. I asked attorney Eleanor Pelta about that. She's a past president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association.
It is easy to stumble and to not understand all of the rules and regulations.
The Prince George's County School District wouldn't comment for this story. A lawyer for the East Baton Rouge schools told me they're not hiring any more teachers from abroad. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And Garage Sales Gone Bad, our occasional series here. Item, denim jacket, sold for $20, mistakenly in the pockets. $18,000 diamond earrings, plus $1,500 in cash, being saved for a vacation, plus that nice ring from hubby. If you have the jacket, find it in your heart to call Dory in Huntington Beach, California. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report on APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.